be with God. You have to want to seek Him, because as you do that, He comes out to meet us through the Holy Spirit and gives us guidance and wisdom to our path in life. And the greatest thing about knowing Him is about coming up with it's knowing a new kind of love. And I want to talk to you about a story that we've heard many, many times, those of you that have grown up in the church. And I've preached on this, and I've heard many preachers preach on this. And like most stories in the Bible, there's a lot of ways you can interpret these stories. But this, whatever you want to call it, revelation, knowledge that came to me, it shook me up in a very good way. So I want to start, I'm going to be reading from Luke, where a man, probably a Pharisee, it says a lawyer in the Bible, comes up to Jesus and asks him, how do I inherit eternal life? And that happens at least twice in the New Testament I know about, because the rich young ruler asked Jesus the same thing. And we're going to run some parallels there. He says, hey, Jesus, how do I inherit eternal life? And when you really read this story, oh, my gosh. It's like, I hope you're as amused as I was, or amazed or filled with the Spirit when we talk about this. I'm going to read this story to you. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus. Kind of tells me probably he was a Pharisee. He knew the law of Moses. He knew the Old Testament, probably the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And he asked Jesus, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Look, I know this book. He didn't have the whole New Testament. He had the Old Testament. I know this stuff. And he asked Jesus, what should I do? And Jesus answers him and says, well, what is your reading of it? In other words, Jesus gives him a question. Well, how do you understand that you should get eternal life? And so the lawyer answers him and he says, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Now, we've heard those words over and over. Jesus says those quite a few times in the New Testament. But they come from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy and Leviticus. These are actually Mosaic laws that he just quoted. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, do those things, and you're going to live. He's telling him, you're going to have eternal life if you do those things. And then he goes on to say, the lawyer says, but he, wanting to justify himself, the lawyer, said to Jesus, but who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And then Jesus answered him with this story. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. In other words, he'd been beat up. He'd been robbed. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, another a religious man of the day, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. And now Jesus makes the story very interesting by saying, but a certain Samaritan, and you've probably heard this, but Samaritans were hated by the Jews. Hated by the Jews. And that's another sermon, why. It goes way back. But it was two people very much not liking each other. But Jesus uses a Samaritan as a story. He says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, where this man had been beat up. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, probably a donkey, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. That was a whole bunch of money at the time, and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend on him, when I come back, I'll repay you. Man, you talk about setting up a deal where you can lose a lot of money. He's just telling the innkeeper, he doesn't even know, look, I want you to take care of this guy, and whatever you spend on him, I'm going to come back and I'll repay you. So which of these three do you think, this is Jesus asking the lawyer there, so which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, well, he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now, here's what rung my bell about this story. Those of you that grew up in church, let me ask you something. How do you get saved? Faith in Jesus Christ, right? We are saved by faith, not by works. We're saved by faith, not by works. So what hit me was, why didn't Jesus say in this story, why don't you believe in me? Just believe in me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Instead, he tells the lawyer who's questioning him, follow the law of Moses. Do, in other words, by works. Go do all these things. Now, listen to this, what happened in this story. You have a question? No. Okay. Just checking. I don't want to leave anybody out on this. Listen to what this Samaritan did. He finds a person he doesn't know in a bad part of town on a road that's known for people getting mugged and beat up and robbed. The Samaritan goes and gets involved. And not only that, not only does he take care of him, bind up his wounds, put him on his own animal, it'd be like you driving by in your Cadillac or whatever you drive, and you see somebody in bad shape in a bad part of town, and you pull over, and they're bleeding, they're messed up, they're smelly, they're robbed, it's obviously a bad scene, and you get out of your car, put them in your nice car, and you take them to the Holiday Inn, or whatever place you go to, and you take care of them. And not only that, the Samaritan stayed with him all night. And how do we know that? Because if you look at verse 35, it says, on the next day, before he departed, he took out 2 denarii, which I looked that up in the Bible, and that's like 2 months worth of salary. It'd be about 2 months he could stay at this place. And gave it to the innkeeper, and then said to the innkeeper, listen, I want you to really take care of this guy, and you can spend whatever you want, and when I come back, I'm going to make it good. Now remember, the Samaritan doesn't know this guy at all. This is what you call lavish love. Lavish love. Lavish getting involved. Lavish, it's beyond what anybody would do. So my question in this is, you know, Jesus started this off, what should you do? And the lawyer answers correctly according to Jesus. I need to love the Lord God with all my heart, all my strength, all my soul, all my being. And I got to love my neighbor as much as I love myself. Now let me ask you something. Who does that? No one. We'd like to. We get involved once in a while. We might get out a 20 or a 50 or a 100 and help somebody out. But this guy, what Jesus is saying, go ahead and try to follow those rules. Try it. No one, maybe Mother Teresa. I've come a several hundred miles in my life from where I used to be. But I have 10,000 miles to go. In the same book, if we go back to, I think it's Luke 18. Let me draw a parallel here. And mark this somewhere. We're going to take you to the story of the rich. I'll find it. My Bible's so marked up, I can't hardly see stuff anymore. The rich young ruler. Now, a certain young ruler came up and asked Jesus, good teacher, what shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus answers him, well, why do you call me good? And Jesus basically says, listen, here's what you need to do. He gives him the law again. He said, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and honor your mother and father. And then this young man said, well, I'm doing all that. I must be in. And then what does Jesus do? He puts that nail in the cross. He says, well, there's one other thing you got to do. Because Jesus knew he was wealthy, very wealthy. He says, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. And then you know the story. The guy hung his head down and goes, oh, I can't do that. Why didn't Jesus tell this guy? He's asking, how can I have eternal life? Why didn't Jesus say, you need to believe in me. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No, he gave him the law back. He was making a point. We are incapable of following the law. We need a Savior. We have to have a Savior because we will never, ever, ever be good enough. I preached on this before. You talk about the Good Samaritan. Churches use it and pastors use it. Well, maybe it's a way we need to get involved with the people who live on the other side of the track. We need to help people in the hospital. We should do more for the poor. And what happens is we walk out of here and we want to feel good, but we feel guilty all the time because we know we're not doing enough. You and I are incapable of loving others the way we love ourselves. Let's face it, we're incapable. And that's the point Jesus is making. And what he's saying is, look, without me, you stand no shot. I am the way. I am the truth. You have to have a Savior that's going to lift you up and put his righteousness on you so that you can be part of my kingdom. You will never be good enough. You'll never be able to save enough people along the road. You'll never be able to give enough money because you can't do it. There's not one of us in here, and I know for a fact, there's not one of us in here that would give up every cash in your bank accounts, sell your house, get rid of your car, and give it away. You ain't going to do it. That's loving others as much as you love yourself. And what this story says to me, you can't do it. And you know what? It's okay. That's why I died on the cross. You have to have me. You have to have my sacrifice, my blood. That is what makes it okay. That means this Bible is not a weapon. This is a book of love, of acceptance. It says, look, I know you're broken. I know you can't do it. But if you come to me, it's okay. My righteousness will be imparted on you and the kingdom of heaven is going to be open to you. That was a revelation to me. I should have known that. But it hit me hard in my heart. It's, look, it's okay. We're broken people. We mess up. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. When you realize what Jesus has done for us, it gives us a new love for who the Savior is, Jesus Christ. It's like, oh my gosh, do I realize how much He's done for me? Because without Him, my life will end on this earth and that's it. But He says, listen, think of the most wonderful, joyful, amazing place you've ever been to. For some of you, it's on a beach. Maybe it's on a mountain. Whatever. Will you find that peace, that joy, that happiness on this earth? Multiply that 10,000 times. And he says, that's what heaven's going to be like. And you can have that eternally. But the only way you're going to do it is to stick with me. And when you realize that, you have a brand new love. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. What happens when you absolutely fall in love with someone? You change. Your schedule changes. Your priorities change. What you want to do. You want to do whatever it takes to please that person. You'll do whatever it takes. The problem with all of us is our love is fickle. It's hard for us to stay in love with anybody in this day and age. We get mad at our neighbors. We get mad at each other. We have issues. We have problems. Well, thank God for Jesus Christ who came to us, who died. For God so loved the world. He sent His only begotten Son. So that whoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. He didn't put any restrictions on it. He just says, you have to believe in me. You can't walk out that door and do enough good. You will never do enough good. But because I know that Jesus did that for me, I want to do good. I want to do more good. I want to help people. Because someday when we all face in front of Jesus, we're going to have to answer and He's going to look at us with those eyes. He said, I died for you. I died for you. Tell me your story. And you know, we can walk in there and say, well, one time I gave $20 to a kid on the street who, you know, looked hungry. That doesn't matter. God, listen, Jesus wants to put His robe of righteousness around us. That He He sacrificed for each of us. That is the gospel. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's end and I just pray, God, that this message sinks deep in the hearts of the people so that we can understand what your Son has done, so that we can love Him more. Because when we love Jesus more, we're going to love people more. And that's really what it's all about. Because we're incapable. So God, forgive us. And forgive our attempts to try to even worship You. Because we know we're not worthy. Yet because of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we are made worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.